Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, Kingdom citizens, and welcome to Let's Talk Kingdom with Katrina. So glad that you decided to join us this evening. I am so excited about our guest today. We have the privilege to have Mr. Terry McGill on with us today. Now, if you guys are artists, independent artists, he's got a wealth of information that with all of his industry expertise and experience, I know you are going to get a lot of information tonight. We hope that will be a blessing to you. But before we do, you know how we do. We always open up the show with a word of prayer. And did you guys like my new intro? That is actually my new song, We Win. Oh, yes. It's actually going to hit out on all the digital markets on October the 4th. So I'll be blasting it out for you guys to go ahead and do your pre-orders on Amazon. I'm so, so, so excited. This has been a long-awaited project, and God was truly in the midst of it. So I just thank God for you guys' support. But again, let us go to the word of prayer. Father God, we thank you and we honor you for this day. We thank you for everything that you have allowed us to see and be a part of. God, we ask you to be in the midst of this interview. We ask you to bless Mr. McGill as he comes on and he blesses our listeners with his knowledge and expertise, and just even to share, you know, maybe some of his experiences and testimony with us as well. So we thank you. We give you all the praise. We ask for your forgiveness for anything that we may have said or done that wasn't pleasing in your sight. And we give you all the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen. So let me read a little bit about Terry McGill. Mr. McGill grew up in Dallas, Texas. As a teenager, he was quiet and shy and a shy young man, but never strayed away from hard work. In 1981, Terry went to work as a sales clerk for the music conglomerate Sound Warehouse. It was there he decided to take advantage of every opportunity to learn the ins and outs of retail music sales and promotion. He has had the privilege to be to do promotions for Smokey Robinson, Diana Ross, The Temptations, Johnny Gill, Boyz II Men, Stevie Wonder. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So without further ado, I don't want to spoil everything because I know he's got so much information to share with us. I want to bring on Mr. Terry McGill. Mr. McGill, are you on with us tonight?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me pretty good, or should I switch out
JBL? No, you sound. No, you sound great. And we are recording, so you sound excellent. So how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Katrina, how are you? You doing okay?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing pretty good. We are so excited to have you on tonight, not only because, you know, me as an indie artist and, you know, having my hands on a lot of different things. But I know we're going to have a lot of artists on tonight that are going to be listening. And I kind of read a little bit of your bio, but kind of give us a little bit of background of who you are. I know you are the head strategy guru for TAM, which is your music consulting business. So kind of talk about your background and then what led you up to where you are now and being and heading this, you know, really, really strategic business.
Okay. All right. All right. And I got to give this lady, Miss Katrina Reeves, all the credit here, man. She is so persistent. She is very persistent at tracking me down and making sure I'm available and on time for the show. I told her I'd be very busy. I lost my assistant where she quit a couple weeks ago. So, you know, I was trying to catch up. When your right arm is missing, you got to kind of do double work here. And I got to give a shout out to you on that. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Look, I understand how it is because, you know, I have a few people that work under me and everybody's pretty much volunteer. I don't pay anybody. But, you know, when you first start out, I mean, you really are, you know, you're your own, your right hand, your left hand, your, you know, your admin person, you're calling, making contacts. So you kind of know how it is when you first get started out. But I do believe that, you know, in order to attract excellence, which I found you on LinkedIn, you have to be about excellence, and that's what I'm all about. So thank you.
Right, exactly. And to answer your question, you touched on the beginning, kind of the, and I thought about it. You said 1981 was basically the start of my career. And first thing I thought about, I was like, wow, that's a long time ago. But that was the basically my beginning into the entertainment industry, and I always had a love for music. I've never been an artist. I've never had a desire to be a performer or anything like that. But my sister was 8 years older than I am, and that was really kind of an extra parent growing up. And as a little kid growing up in the 80s, she was into music a whole lot. She used to play the artist of the time. I was a little boy walking around listening to, you know, Stevie Wonder and Smokey Robinson and, you know, Diana Ross, Aretha Franklin, all these people growing up here in Texas. I'm based in Dallas. I'm in Dallas, but of course I've lived all over the country. But growing up here in Texas, my sister was really into music. So that was kind of how I got into it, just from a listening and becoming a lover of music. And not just liking the music itself, but just how it was written, who wrote what, who produced what. I mean, I was even into that as a infant, you know, going back to 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. So that was kind of my introductory into the business and just, you know, kind of moving up here. I started in a record store. Some of your older listeners do remember when there were music stores. There were stores that specialized in selling music. Now everything is digital and online, which is, I'm sure we're going to get into later on in this interview. But I started in a record store. I was in college. I was working in a record store part-time and going to school. And I told my mom I was going to sit out a semester and work full-time in the store, give me another car so I can work full-time. And I end up, of course, loving it and excelling, not just loving it, but just really excelling in working in the music store. And what I loved about it, for some of your young listeners here, is, of course, Sound Warehouse was the music chain here in Dallas, a very famous chain that was eventually purchased by Blockbuster Music. Later on, after I went on and started working at Motown Records in the 90s, but while working at Sound Warehouse, we used to get a lot of recording artists that would stop into the store during that time. The artist that was hot at the time, Babyface, Lakeside, Confunction, Stephanie Mills, all the artists that were hot coming through the 80s. And they would come through on their way to radio, and they would come through and do autograph parties at our store because, you know, our store was a very famous store here in Dallas. And we sold a lot of music. So I was always interested in meeting the record rep who would travel with the artist. Of course, I wanted to meet the artist, and I took pictures and networked with a lot of artists when I managed and eventually worked my way up to manager of that particular store. But I met a lot of artists, but my main interest was, man, I wanted to know, God, Mike Kelly, Eric Thrasher, man, how can I get a job like that, man? How can I get a job like that? So that was my interest in actually turning my music career into taking it to the next level as far as working at a record label. So I interviewed for several record company jobs. I had some influence here in Dallas at the Best Volume record store at the time, and I interviewed for several jobs. I got to be good friends with a lady we talked about in our first conversation, Miss Terry Avery. Terry was the program director, music director here in Dallas at KKDA at the time while I was in retail. And me and her built up a great relationship because she would always call me and wanted to know what was hot in the store, what were we selling, all of that. So we built up a relationship. And the record companies found out about our relationship. So I started getting interviewed for several jobs. Then I interviewed four or five different jobs. Warner Music and several other jobs. I didn't get the job, but it prepared me for eventually getting my first record company job, which was at Motown Records. I started out at Motown. Eric Thrasher, me and Eric are still friends today, still good friends. He's actually working at U.S. Bank now, but he's out of the music industry. But Eric was Barry Gordy had just sold the company to MCA Records, and they elevated Eric from a regional rep to a national position, and he was able to hire representatives underneath him. So me and Eric, like I said, over the years, had struck up a friendship for him bringing artists in the store. So Eric told me, hey, Terry, man, I got a job for you, bro. He said, man, I'd love for you to come work for me. He said, I'm going to tell you, you got to move to Houston. So, needless to say, this was 1988 at the time. I'd never flown on a plane. I'd never traveled. I'd never did anything like that. I'd, of course, been to Houston several times. You know, Houston is a four-hour drive from Dallas. So I accepted the job, moved to Houston. Motown Records, and I tell you, my first month into the job, once I got to Houston, I was working out of an apartment at the time. My title was a regional marketing manager, and I called my boss, Eric, back, and about a month into the job, I said, Eric, man, I got to quit, bro. I'm going to take my job back at Sound Warehouse. The owner of the chain said he'll take me back if I won't. I said, man, I can't do this, bro. This is too hard. Eric told me, I'll never forget this story. Eric told me, and me and Eric still talk about that to this day. Eric told me, he said, Terry, I hired you for a reason. I know you can do the job. He said, if I knew you couldn't do the job, I wouldn't have hired you. He said, man, hang in there. He said, man, you'll see the country. He said, man, if you quit, you'll never get the opportunity again to get into the record business. So he said, man, just hang in there. And he said, them people down there start becoming receptive to what you're talking about and your sales pitch to them. So that was, I did. I stuck in there. I kept the job. And that was the best advice I'd ever had up to that point in my career. I hung in there and eventually worked my way up from a local rep position to a regional rep at Motown, and then eventually – I did such a great job, I had other record companies start offering me jobs, man. Other people were calling me, offering me positions. So I accepted a role which doubled my salary. I went to RCA Records, another good friend of mine at the time that used to shop in the store, and he still remembered me and followed my career at Motown. His name is Roland Addison, the late Roland Addison. Roland passed away a few years ago. He was the national director at RCA. He hired me. He lured me from Motown, gave me an opportunity to move back to Dallas and, you know, to prepare for a bigger role and a more important, a larger role at RCA. And that was kind of, kind of speed up the story there. That was kind of the beginning of it. Once I gained my confidence, I started meeting the right people, start building relationships with radio programmers and DJs and media people around the country, and I start gaining respect in the industry. Then, you know, other people start offering me jobs, and eventually I was able to move my way up to a VP of marketing, VP of promotions position. I had a company called All American Music Group, which was a Warner label, a Wheel distributor, a Warner Electro Atlantic distributed label. They offered me a VP of marketing job. I moved to L.A., took that job. And that was kind of, you know, kind of speed up the story there. At that time, we had James Brown, Weird Al Yankovic, oh, my God, Above the Rim soundtrack. I had an opportunity with Dr. Dre, DJ Yella from N.W.A. solo project. I took that to gold. So I had an opportunity to run a department and just really get my feet wet and just, you know, gain national national recognition and appreciation for my role as a music executive. And, you know, just eventually that turned into a 15-year career at several other record companies after that. After that, kind of speeding up the story here. And then eventually in 1999, we all know due to technological advancements and some of the digital things, social media was starting to grow at the time. Napster was launched in the middle 90s. And there's a plethora of other technological advances that basically changed the industry. I don't know if we can go into those at some point, but eventually I decided to start my own company in California. I was in LA at the time. I started my own company, and I saw Mark, individual artists, good friends of mine that I developed relationships with, Will Smith, James Lasseter, which is Will's partner, Kevin Evans, he was the head of A&R at RCA again. There's a lot of people in the industry that I met, and I was able to move on and do it independently, sign a bunch of acts and develop acts. And then eventually in the early 2000s, I decided to move back to Texas and move my company here. And that's basically where I've been since then. 15 years now, actually more than that, about 18 years, and I've been blessed to launch, you know, lots of major events, lots of major artists. Bruno Mars, I've worked with, Tamia, oh my God, a bunch of artists over the last 15 years. I've had an opportunity to work their videos, launch their music projects, set up tours, South by Southwest, Super Bowl weekend, NBA All-Star weekend. Those are some of the things that we do now, some of the tours that we do around the country. So, you know, I know it took a little time there, but it's been a great career, and I'm still going strong, you know, just still doing my thing, still breaking records and doing my thing. And thank you for finding me, Katrina. From what I understand, you got a new single that we're going to be I heard a little bit of it when you in the intro there, but at some point, send me the song, and we'll talk about your project. But, yeah, that's kind of how it started.
Wow. You know, one thing that I read in your bio that I really liked, it said, you're a firm believer that in order to be successful, you must possess the tools necessary to become successful. And that's very important for indie artists. I know, you know, we talked about it. We can go back through history where, you know, even back through the Motown days and things like that, where people weren't really getting the money because, but they were just loving to sing and tour, but they weren't getting the money. And you, we can go into all of, you know, that, how people were swindled out of their money and weren't getting paid what they felt like they were getting paid. But what do you think is the most important thing for an indie artist to know and understand about the music business?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you touched on a 3 hour you touched on basically a 3 hour conversation. I tell artists all the time, I get so many inquiries from artists all over the world. 95% of the projects I cannot take because I'm busy working other things. But what artists got to know is this, is learn the business. Do research. There's so much information out there now readily available online where you can, instead of learning the business on the streets and from some artist that you heard about that maybe had a minor hit or local hit in your region, do the research online and read some of the important people. Read their memoirs. Read their stories. Do research on important people so you can learn the real way and the correct way to launch your project. I mean, just a few things here is today in 2019, going into 2020, technology has basically taken over the business. So you gotta be very tech savvy, and you gotta be hands on with a little bit of everything. You know, you gotta know how to engineer, you gotta know how to record, you gotta know how to program your own software. You basically got to be kind of a jack of all trades, because you don't have enough value. You don't have enough investment, unless you have an investor or somebody that's going to put some money up. But you don't have the things in place to hire or to put people in place for people to do certain jobs. So you got to really do the research. I mean, what the problem I come up with, Katrina, with a lot of artists is these artists want to go in the studio, they want to record a song or two on Monday or Tuesday, and they want to go on tour with ASAP Rocky on Saturday.
It don't work like that.
Hey, there's a whole lot of in-between that you miss. You got to learn the basics of, I've recorded a song. Second thing, I need to rehearse. I need to learn how to set up my publishing or set up my copyright. You got to learn the basics. You don't turn in a resume on Indeed or LinkedIn or Monster.com as to get a job. Kind of create an analogy here for the regular people. You can't apply for a job as a VP of marketing and you never worked in the mailroom. You know what I'm saying?
You gotta
learn the business from the bottom and progress at your pace. Now, if you're talented, somebody will find you, somebody will hear you, and you'll learn the channels to get your music heard by important people. But the main thing is you got to be patient and you got to learn the game. I hope that helps a few artists out there. There's a lot more. I don't know how much time we have, but there's a lot more to that. But those are some of the basics.
Oh, yeah. And that's very important because, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and the more I try to learn, because like you said, the industry, music industry is changing every day. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. From my very first project, I still have the cassette that I did my very first project on. And then they've moved from cassette to, you know, to CDs. And then now, you know, people don't even purchase CDs anymore. Everything, like you said, is digital. So you have to definitely know the business. So tell me about TAM, your company.
Okay. Well, TAM, which stands for TAM, stands for Texas Artist Movement. And those are the initials for that. When I first moved back to Dallas here, my goal was to, at that time, Atlanta was, of course, with what Jermaine Dupri and, you know, Babyface at the LaFace Records in Atlanta. Houston was hot at the time, so. My goal was to launch a major, in which we did back in the early 2000s, working away to the first 10 years of the new century here. My goal was to launch and educate artists within this region, not just Texas, but the whole southwestern region, was to put this region on the map. So I launched a company called the Texas Artist Movement, which we did more than music. We did an event called the Texas Summer Music Conference. You guys can search that online. That was a good 8-10 year run. It was very similar to South by Southwest. Oh man, at the heyday, that was one of the biggest music event in Texas. But now the company has kind of morphed into a consulting company. Where me and my team, we do marketing and promotion for national, worldwide artists actually, but more of a national and regional artist marketing company. We work radio. We get BDS and media-based spins at major FM radio stations around the country, Clear Channel, I'm sorry, Cumulus. All the major radio chains, Radio One, Aha Media, we get radio spins. Of course, we do digital marketing, social media marketing. We do bookings, national bookings for artists. We set up publishing. We do everything, everything it takes to launch a music project. Usually artists like yourself and other artists around the country, they'll find us. Go to our website, or you go to our LinkedIn page. Anybody want to find me, they can go. Just search Terry McGill on LinkedIn. Website is out there as well, tammusicconsulting.com. But pretty much most of our business now is pretty much LinkedIn and on Facebook. So you can search Terry McGill, and you can find our page out there, any artist that want to locate us. But basically that's what TAM is. It's a marketing and promotions company, and we do major events around the country and launch major projects. That's basically what we do.
Wow, that is fantastic. Yeah, like I said, LinkedIn is, to me, an underused tool. I mean, everybody has gotten so hooked on, you know, the Instagram and the Facebook, you know, and all the other ones. But I have found, just doing my research, that I found a lot of great people to connect with and to mentor, and, you know, just to get that extra knowledge that you need for this business. And do you feel that LinkedIn is kind of an underrated tool that people really are not using like they should, especially artists, you know, or anybody?
Well, I put it like this. I put it like this, Katrina. Shh, don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody about LinkedIn. I'm gonna tell you, LinkedIn is. I'm gonna give a plug to LinkedIn. Because what I don't want to happen is all these, you know, nickel and dime artists going to LinkedIn and thinking they're gonna be able to go there and think it's Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. It's not. LinkedIn is for businesses. It's for, it's not somewhere where you're going to go post a whole bunch of pictures and what you did last night and all of that. It's basically where you upload your business portfolio and other businesses, and not just entertainment, all types of businesses around the world can find you. I found so many tech and major event providers and have found it. I got a project that I'm going to be working here going into 2020. It's called the Worldwide Jazz Music Awards. I had a gentleman from Belgium contact me, and he wanted me to come into that program and help them launch that gargantuan program. I'm excited about that. That worldwide, you know, that's going to be a 3-year marketing campaign in the making, but that's one of the projects that I'm working on. But my point is this gentleman found my company on LinkedIn. So you're right, LinkedIn is definitely, if you're looking to set up your profile, your entertainment profile, to attract business interests from businesses. And another thing I would tell the artists and independent labels that's trying to get started, Katrina, is network. Because see, people use the word, "Hey, I want to network with you." Because I get hits all the time. Man, Terry, I want to network. Can I network with you? Networking means you need to network with people that want to network with you. What I mean by that is, if you're trying to network with Jay-Z and you some independent artist from, you know, St. Louis, Missouri, Jay-Z ain't got time for you. You're too busy. He's networking with the NFL and the NBA. Yeah. And I don't mean that in a negative sense. What I mean is you got to, when you go on LinkedIn or any social media platform, and that's something good for, that's something that, you know, startup artists and labels should remember, is you're going to get much better return in the networking process from artists and labels that are at your level. I mean, network, I tell artists, call me all the time, and I tell them, they'll tell me, I get a call, I give an example. I had a rap artist from Baltimore hit me the other day, and they were telling me that they were trying to launch their artist, I'm sorry, their project locally in the DMV, the D.C. Baltimore area, and I was telling them about, you know, KISS and WPGC, the two big radio stations up there, and I was telling them, you need to network with people at those stations, but don't contact the high-profile people up there, because the guy that's doing mornings in D.C. or doing the morning show, or Tom Joyner or Ross Parr, people like that, that's doing a major morning show, they're not going to have time for you. Get to know that overnight job. Get to know that overnight guy. Or that guy that's doing the show overnight. Or when you go into a club, that DJ that opens for the major DJ. That DJ that comes on at 10 o'clock, 10 at night instead of at midnight when the club is packed. Network with that person. Because you know what? As you develop your career, and a year, 2 years, one, two, 3 years go by, that person that you met when he was at that low level, you'll have that relationship with him 3 years from now. So, because he'll be on a 3-year arc to his career, his or her career, and you'll be on a 3-year arc to your career. So the key is, for independent artists, is network with people that want to network with you. You know, I see so many artists wasting their time trying to reach Beyonce and Jay-Z and trying to reach all these high-profile people. That's a waste of time. You're wasting your time. You know, you got to grow. It's a progression to this thing. So,
Exactly. And I had one more question, and then we're going to have to wrap it up because I know the show is going to definitely end in about 7 or 8 minutes. Because they only give us 30 minutes and they give us a little. No. This has been great. And they only give us like a 15-minute grace period. But my question to you is, with the new reality shows for music like American Idol and City's Best and, you know, The Voice, there's so many artists that try to get on, because, I mean, you know, when American Idol first came out, I mean, it was like hundreds of thousands of people were going from city to city to try to get on these platforms. Kind of talk about that a little bit. What do you think about indie artists at least taking the opportunity to try to audition for those things? I mean, you can audition for, you know, anything, but what do you feel about that when they first came out, and how they're possibly hurting or helping some artists?
That's the worst thing. Katrina, that's those reality TV shows, that's the worst thing that happened, one of the worst things that happened to the music industry. I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to tell you why. Because those television shows, American Idol, The Voice, those are made for TV shows. It's just like, let me say this. If you have lottery in your city, the lottery, Texas Lotto or the Powerball or whatever, you can buy a lottery ticket and you can play every two times a week. Your chances of winning is 1 in 10 billion. It's the same way with those television shows. Now, if you're the best of the best, the key is you got to be realistic and honest about your talent. If you're the best of the best, because see, to get on those shows, it's not just about talent. You got to be photogenic. You got to be able to react to the camera. There's a lot of things, a lot of other things that they look at for those television shows besides just the natural talent. I wouldn't, you know, like I said, I mean. You don't put as a normal human being, you don't invest your retirement plan into winning the lotto. It's the same way with those reality shows. Don't invest your career in the industry into those reality shows, because your chance of winning is 1 in 100 million or 10 million, whatever the odds are. So, you know, it's not a substitute for just good old hard work. Getting out here, creating a great song, and that's the key. And I know we're running out of time, but the key is today as an artist, you got to create a great song, and a song has got to be compelling. It's got to make the audience move. When I say move, I mean make the audience think. I mean, just look at some of the classic songs, What's Going On, Between the Sheets, think of some of the classic songs. Those songs were classics because they moved. They moved people mentally. And there's no substitute for a great song. And more importantly now with the imaging is you got to build a great image for yourself.
Yeah.
A cutting edge image.
That's
do something different. Do something new. Don't be the 10th version of Beyonce or ASAP Rocky. Be the first version of yourself.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Well, Mr. McGill, thank you so much for all of that wonderful information. Guys, I hope you really, really, especially those that are, you know, pursuing their music careers or even been doing it for a while, there's always more stuff that you can learn for you to grow and to be, you know, a successful artist. And some people are meant to be worldwide, and some people are just meant to be local. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. You just have to be comfortable with who you are and where you are, you know, with your gifts. So thank you so much. We really appreciate you coming on tonight. We will definitely be putting your information out there for, you know, if anybody, you know, hits us back and wants your information, is it okay to share your information, how to get in contact with you on LinkedIn?
Oh, absolutely. Please do that. You can just search me on Terry Music Consulting, T-E-R-R-Y, Music Consulting, and just search that. Go to LinkedIn, search my profile, and find me. And then, Katrina, I appreciate you. Thank you so much, and let's stay in touch.
We definitely will. We definitely will. Well, everybody, we thank you so much. We are getting ready to close out the show. And, again, we appreciate everything that you do, all of your love and your support. And don't forget, tune in next week. We have another great guest that's going to be coming on. And as we always close out the show, let's talk, everybody. Have a good evening. Thank you so much, Mr. McGill.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless.